This hour of the Jason Rant Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There is so much news happening all around the world and right here at home, including weirdly placed promos that we're not entirely sure how it got there. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Weatherpocalypse Mageddon.
So we saw something on Saturday that we generally don't see in this region. Certainly we don't see in Seattle-centric, which is a whole bunch of thunderstorms. Like a big thunderstorm with a lot of lightning, with very loud thunder. Saturday night, there were 2,275 bolts of lightning per the National Weather Service. And people were watching it from their rooftops, from their backyards. Almost all of them took really, really bad video and photos that barely look like thunder, but because I was here, I can tell you categorically, that's what it was.
We were watching the lightning from the house for what, an hour? Yeah, just a nonstop show. It's really something.
And for some folks like Roxanne talking with Como TV, that this was a whole new experience for her.
My eyes were like lit up. I thought, well, maybe it was like a little bomb just hit the tree. I was overwhelmed and I don't know. I never experienced that before.
Wow. And I didn't either. Now, Snohomish County got 449 bolts of lightning. Pierce County, 447. Lewis, 345. King County, 224. Thurston, 20. Kitsap, 52. People were freaked out. Reed Woolcott, who's a meteorologist for the National Weather Service, told Como TV that he was even surprised by how much action we got.
It was bigger than we expected. We had sunshine in the mountains that promoted thunderstorm growth, and that negatively tilted trough brought just enough energy to trigger some pretty extensive thunderstorms across the Puget Sound.
So every individual community dealt with it slightly different, was impacted slightly different. There was a small wildfire that broke out on the east side of Orcas Island. Kent and Bellingham saw some flooding. Seattle, I noticed a whole bunch of sirens blaring for some reason. It's very weird. Just all of a sudden, the lightning, and then either police sirens or ambulance sirens. One dude told King 5 that it destroyed a tree.
You can see the line where the lightning came down, but there's no burn mark. And well, it's sad. There's not many left in Seattle.
Trees?
You know, they're all getting eaten by lightning or chainsaws.
Shut up. First of all, you can't eat things with light. Lightning doesn't eat. It's getting eaten up by lightning. And you've got plenty of trees. Stop this nonsense. Oh, we have no trees left. The few trees we have are getting eaten by lightning. Shut up. Okay. I have some things to say.
I'd love to hear them.
And it's really just one thing that I want to yell about very loudly, in particular to the fans of the show who follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/JasonRantsShow. Please take this with the intention that I'm delivering it. I love every single one of my fans, especially the ones who follow me on Facebook. I love all of you. But please, for the love of all things holy, do not tell me that I don't know what it is I'm talking about. Because when I posted a video, and it was a bad video, of the lightning that I saw from the rooftop in my apartment at South Lake Union, I posted it and I said, wow, this doesn't really happen. I've never seen this kind of lightning before. And then almost immediately, because I guess this is what we've programmed people in talk radio to do, immediately give me a hot take, and not just a hot take, but tell me that I'm crazy. Oh, well, you haven't lived here that long then, Jason. What are you talking about? We don't get these kinds of thunderstorms all that often. We don't. We certainly don't get them in Seattle. I'm not saying we never, ever, ever have any bolts of lightning grace the beautiful skies of Washington. That's not what I'm saying. But when I post a video and say, wow, I'm shocked at this, I've never seen this before, don't immediately come at me and be all like, oh, well, you know, well, you must not live here. What do you think? You must not live here. We don't get these all that often. This is a once in a very long time. I've been in this apartment that I've lived at, or in this general region of Seattle, for 13 years. Never in the 13 years that I've been here, in this very specific area of Seattle, have we ever seen anything remotely close to this. So stop.
You have to understand,
oh my God,
that you have 3 hours a day to speak your mind. You can't take it to Facebook and keep speaking your mind.
People, I didn't even speak my mind. All I said was, I'm just shocked by the amount, like literally everybody else. But there's always that one or two people who got to show, oh, no, 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 no. Now, apparently, we're going to get more of these thunderstorms tonight. It's not going to be as crazy as we saw on Saturday. Kirby Cook is a science and operations officer at the National Weather Service, said, we're not expecting the level of activity we had Saturday night. The expectation is that it won't be as impressive. If we do get thunderstorms, it will be pretty scattered. Now, I thought it was fun. It gave me something to do as I got home. And it's funny because I got home on Saturday, maybe 20-ish minutes before it all started to come down, so I was able to not be stuck in it, which would have been a nightmare because it came down really, really hard. And we don't even get rain as hard as we got during those moments. I know that it impacted the concert that was happening in Marymore. I know that it got in the way of the Huskies game, although too bad it didn't just flood all of Husky Stadium and then just not have to play that game. What'd they lose by?
One possession?
Okay.
20-19, I think.
This just kills, right? Just kind of kills.
You know, I knew that it was going to be very low low attendance after the lightning storm of that game. I debated getting in my car and going down there to see if I could talk security into just letting me walk in.
Yeah, you could have been all like, no, I got rid of my ticket. I left. I went to the car because I didn't want to get... Although, the expectation is, I suppose, that you would stay underneath the rafters. You know, and then we'll move on. Just real quick. Can we not cover all of the seats in every stadium?
No.
Why is it necessary? Whether we're talking about Husky State or whether we're talking about CenturyLink... Like, there's portions that are not covered.
That would make too much sense.
Is the only reason we don't do it is so you can justify charging more for, like, the club-level seats that are completely covered? Just give everybody a break. Just give everybody a break. This is so ridiculous. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So Joshua Free just announced on Friday that he's running for governor. Joshua, of course, is the former mayor of Bothell, former city council out in Bothell. We know him really well on this show because we talk to him frequently about his attempts to try to get rid of the idea of instituting heroin injection sites in King County. Now, ultimately, in that case, he failed. It went to the Supreme Court, who was all like, oh, you have no, this is having to do with budgets and finances. You really don't have any leverage here. And so they tossed it, but he brought a lot of attention to it. He's going to stop by the show at 5:30 to talk about his campaign, but this morning at 8:30 on the Saul Spady Show, he announced to Saul and the audience why he's running for governor.
Well, I'm really running for governor because so many in our state are being left behind, and you can see that evidence all around us. So the top three issues certainly are dealing with the drug epidemic that's before us, bringing government accountability and transparency to Olympia, as well as prioritizing our spending. Listen, Olympia has plenty of money, but the wrong priorities, and we can focus on priorities without a new state income tax.
He is 100% correct. The whole idea of implementing an income tax, which is exactly what Democrats want to do, is to alleviate or address a problem that's not actually there. We don't have a money problem. We have a spending problem. We've got the finances in Washington State. We've got them. We've had record numbers of revenue coming into the state of Washington, and yet they constantly complain. It's the Democrats who constantly complain, oh, we don't have enough money. It's because you're misspending the money that you have. It's because you're choosing to put money into programs that don't actually deliver any type of result that matches the amount of investment that we're putting into it. You're pouring money into agencies that are not adequately or efficiently spending the money. And then, of course, you want to create new programs that get people addicted to government subsidies rather than address the problem, the root cause of why these folks are, quote unquote, addicted to the government subsidies. Now, of course, because Joshua Free has been so focused on homelessness and the opioid epidemic, that's going to be a key part of his campaign.
Well, I want to have a public-private partnership to truly address the situation that's before us. And right now, government's too involved on people-on-people treatment, and they're not having success when that even does occur. Today, we don't even have on-demand treatment. So if somebody wants to get help from heroin addiction, if they are at a point in that day where they want to get help, there's not beds enough to go be able to take people there. So a public-private partnership looks like the government providing the land, the facilities, and then private groups that are having success come in and properly address people-on-people treatment.
So for me, I'm especially interested in how he would address what feels like very hyper-local issues, how he would address it as governor, and what exactly is his plan to win over King County, which is a county that you have to at least get 40-ish percent of the vote if you want to be able to win a statewide election. So what exactly is his plan? He's going to stop by at 5:30 this afternoon to tell us how he plans to become the next governor of Washington State. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget, give me a follow on Twitter. Go behind the scenes of the show. Help us promote the show. Go to twitter.com/JasonRants or just fire up that Twitter app. Search for the screen name Jason Rants. It's all one word. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Pierce County?
DuPont's fire chief, Michael Keohe, resigned from his post after the city pushed a fundraiser event at his fire station, even after he said it puts the community at risk in case of a fire that they needed to respond to. The former chief, Keohe, joins me now. Chief, or former chief, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
So, you know, this event was supposed to take place at the apparatus room of the fire station. First, if you can explain what exactly that space is, and then what impact would this have on the job if there were, God forbid, a fire?
Okay, well, the apparatus room is where we park all of our vehicles and where we have a lot of other support equipment, supply areas, and ancillary equipment, such as there's a portable generator in there and some other things that are parked in that area.
So they want to have their event. It's an auction. They've had auctions there before. They're choosing this space because it's rather large. Obviously, you're going to have to move some stuff to accommodate, or you would have had to. Why would that have been problematic from your perspective?
Okay, well, you know, when they hired me last year, I thought that this whole thing sounded kind of sketchy, but I decided not to make any decisions until I observed it. And so I observed the festivities last year, and I determined that they were inappropriate to the facility and that they interfered with our operational capabilities. And one of the things that I noticed was that the firefighters, they had all of their vehicles parked around back in a secure gated area, and it's dark back there. And when they got a call, they had to go out there and suit up in the dark and get aboard their vehicle and then go and wait for the motorized gate to open. And that whole process, delayed them. Plus, it's just not the safest way to do things. The vehicle should be in a lighted area so that you can look at the vehicle before you move it to make sure that there isn't any equipment that got left on it, no compartment doors open, anything like that before you move. The other thing is that the apparatus bay area is a work area, and that is where you decontaminate and resupply the aid car, where you pull equipment off in the engines, maintenance that equipment, clean that equipment, and put replacement items on vehicles after calls. You do that in a lighted, secure area adjacent to where all of those supplies are kept. You don't do it outside in the dark.
And you explained this all to the city multiple times, correct?
Yes, I gave them, before I even made my decision, I went over it with the firefighters to make sure that they, you know, were in agreement, and they were very excited not to have that take place. I always worked with the firefighters. And then, the city, one of the council members started giving me pushback on this decision, and my policies about the use of the station, I gave them in writing a very detailed explanation of why this kind of activity is inappropriate. It's a liability, and it affects our operation. All of those reasons, and I gave them a lot of details. And the city manager received that. So in the article, he said that
you're talking about city administrator Andy Takot.
Well, he understood very well
what
the big deal was. I explained it in detail.
Well, what's interesting, there's a quote in the Tacoma News Tribune where we first saw the story, and you're speaking of city administrator Andy Takata, and he said, there's plenty of room, so what harm does it cause? And it's one of those statements that just reads so incredibly out of touch with the reality. Because let's say that he disagreed with your position on this. You're obviously the expert more so than he is in this particular matter. But let's just say he disagreed with it. I mean, the whole idea of saying, so what harm does it cause, makes it sound like there were no real alarm bells being rung. And you clearly were ringing the alarms from the start. And so when did you decide the right move for you was to step down?
I decided first, Andy's at an at-will position. Andy, I think he fully understands what the potential harm is. And Andy, I had Andy review my policies about the use of the facility, including a prohibition on alcohol in the facility. There is no alcohol in fire stations. This is an event where they serve alcohol. And I said, Andy, look at my policies. If you see that I'm screwed up or I'm wrong on something here, you let me know, because I'm willing to reconsider if you can find a problem. He read those policies, and he claimed that he had no problem with those whatsoever. He thought they were totally justified. He's an experienced city administrator. He knows what's going on. But I think he probably just doesn't want to be in conflict with his boss.
Okay, so you think that there's just something behind the scenes going on. The council, for whatever reason, is hell-bent on having this at the station. Maybe it's easiest for them to do because they've done it in the past. This isn't them necessarily doing anything with nefarious intent. They just want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and I don't know that the whole council thinks that this is a good idea. I was only approached by two council members, one of which had a major problem with it. And I explained it to both those council members, and one of them backed off. And he said, yeah, you know what? I see your point. Maybe we should have this at the golf course over there by Nisqually or something.
Well, since you announced...
it's not like they can't hold the event without doing it at the station. There are alternative locations.
There's a dozen other places that they can do it in, DuPont specifically. But, I mean, from this perspective, you've clearly outlined your concerns. You lost that particular battle, so you decided to resign. Have they had any contact with you since the resignation to say, let's rethink this before you go. Maybe we'll change your mind. Because this fundraiser isn't supposed to happen until later this month.
Yeah, no, they haven't. As a matter of fact, the News Tribune article said that I resigned in protest. That's not accurate. I didn't resign in protest. I resigned because I disagreed with having my policy countermanded. And I also was not really happy with the way that it was handled. The mayor didn't even bother to speak with me about it. I made it very clear that I wanted clarification, which was a way of saying that I would like a meeting with the mayor. And he didn't even respond to my email. He simply had Mr. Takata email me to say that they have the right to countermand my decisions. Well, there's the rub right there. Mm-hmm. Number one, yes, I think that it puts the city at risk. I think it's an abuse of the firefighters. I think it's a ridiculous liability issue that they just shouldn't even go there. If it's predictable, it's preventable. And it's predictable that something could happen as a result of serving alcohol in the station. But aside from that, my belief is that when you hire professionals to run your departments, you let them run those departments. And if it's something that's operational, they should not be countermanded. And if you are going to countermand a department head, you should at least have the decency to sit down with them and discuss it. But the mayor didn't see fit to do that, and that was a problem for me. So I really didn't see any alternative. If that's the way they're going to run things, I can't work in that kind of an environment. And frankly, I didn't need the job. I went there as a favor to the city. I worked for far less compensation than a full-time fire chief would be given. And my whole purpose in going there was to help them to fix a broken department, which I did. I did a very good job from them. Even they will tell you that I did a very good job for them. So to just simply brush my concerns off without so much as a serious conversation, that's just not an environment that I care to work in.
Yeah, and you know what? There are a lot of people who will put up with that nonsense, and they usually do it to the dismay of both the job that they're doing and their own personal life and you know, mental health. So I'm glad you decided to make this decision. Obviously, everyone's sorry to see you go. From all appearances, you were very, very good at your job. I appreciate you stopping by. What's next for you, by the way?
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm back to being retired. I would like to make one thing clear, though. I'm not a disgruntled ex-employee. I don't bear any malice for the city. I really enjoyed my service there. I feel I did an honorable job. I really like the city employees, especially the current police chief. I think he's just stellar. And so I'm not out to get anybody. I simply feel that if you're a public employee and the media or the citizens want to know why you did what you did, that you owe them an explanation. And that's that. Other than that, I'm a happy guy.
Well, I appreciate all the transparency that you've offered today on the show. We've been talking with the former fire chief over in DuPont, Michael Keohe. Michael, thank you so much for stopping by. Really wish you the best of luck.
You bet. You too.
Absolutely. To the male dancers for the Seahawks. They're the Seattle Seahawks dancers, no longer the Sea Gals. One person took quite a particular notice, Saul Spady, our morning show host from 6 to 9, who joins me in studio. Hello.
Hey, Jason. It's great to be with you. Yeah, I had a great day yesterday. It was super fun at the Seahawks game. I mean, we could talk about the Hawks, but that's a total waste of time. They did Hawks things. They didn't play very well in the first half.
They
barely won on the back of Russell Wilson and whatever the running back of the moment is. No, what I took away, and actually there were a lot of people in the stadium talking about this, the male dancers were severely overdressed. So, I mean, it's a warm day. Obviously, their female counterparts are not wearing a ton of clothes, but I mean baggy pants. They're wearing a baggy jersey. Over the baggy jersey is a hoodie. And so when you're in the 300 level, you're looking down, they're all pretty short. It looks like they're the boyish kind of flag waving team in front of their Amazonian counterparts. And I don't know, it looks silly. We're in the 90s or back, aren't they? Like, can't we have some short shorts and some crop tops for our male dancers?
So you're arguing.
Is that too sexy?
Well, you're arguing that there is a different standard between the male dancers and the female dancers, essentially.
It was so clear. It was a conversation point in the stadium, and it wasn't just me. Multiple women, my date as well, were driving the conversation of the lack of equality to the men being so clothed. They also looked ridiculous. To be fair, male dancers are physical specimens. They shouldn't look boyish. You should actually be able to see that they are strong. If you can do a flip, I can maybe see your six-pack, and it's not the worst thing, especially considering Brandon Mebane, or who the biggest Seahawk of the moment, whenever they get a sack, what do? They lift up their belly and they
start
roll
to do the dance.
Belly flaps.
So, okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Number one, I suppose you could just as easily make the argument that you should be clothing the women more, right? I mean, it's the same thing. It's just about treating them both the same way. But does the audience actually want to see more male semi-nudity?
Well, here's the deal. Remember 90s basketball? I mean, these men were so overdressed when compared to Michael Jordan in the early 90s. I'm actually just trying to pull back from what was a pretty Amish representation of the male dance team. I'm not saying they have to be wearing, you know, thongs, but the Seahawks practice in short shorts and crop tops. They do like Disco Thursdays or something. I'm sorry, the team looked silly, and I hope they come out with more coordinated outfits. And honestly, at the very least, I mean, here's the deal. I saw a photographer sprinting down the sideline. You know what I saw? His sexy shorts. Put these male dancers in some shorts.
The only thing I'm thinking, because neither of us live in the world of dancing, right?
So says you. I'm a night dancer.
Is that what you you do at night,
Jason.
That's why you're always tired right in the morning, and it takes you a little while to dance up in the studio to get that energy back. It seems to me that this might be more of a traditional get-up for urban dancing.
Yeah, and I actually considered that when I wrote this article, because I'm such a known, hated individual. I thought, you know what? Some women are going to back me, but then what's going to happen is I'm going to probably like commit some sort of racial infraction on B-boy culture by saying that they should wear, I guess, more sexy
revealing
clothing. And I worried about that, but you know what? I had a little Jason Rance on my shoulder, and he said, go for it, Saul.
I always want you to go for it. Hail Mary on this article. Well, it is an interesting point because, you know, we could all pretend that the male dancers are not going to be a talking point out of at least the first few games. Because when I went to two of the preseason games, and everyone around me also, we weren't talking specifically about their outfit, but we were saying, oh, that is kind of weird in the sense of, we don't normally see that. It's not wrong. I personally don't care. And I've said this multiple times.
But really, I'm in support of it.
Yeah. Every single person around me, mostly women, said they're way better dancers than the women. And so there's going to be some really good, healthy competition. Right now, they've got to earn it, right? Because no one is expecting them. And it was like, this is kind of weird for a lot of folks who weren't expecting it. So they overperform, and they get everybody's like, oh, yeah, that was a good idea. And then the women, I'm assuming, going to look at them like, oh, we got to up our game, too. And then it's going to be actual entertainment.
I mean, for Jason Rance, maybe you saw an overperform. For a Saul Spadia and my date, we definitely saw an overdressed dance crew.
How ironic that is.
There's a conversation. You could read my article on it, right? You can text in Spadia to 1-800-465-8770 if you're curious. And I'm sure Jason probably will have a few jokes after I walk out the studio.
Text the keyword Spadia to 1-800-465-8770. We'll send you a link to his story for you not just to read, but also share on Twitter and Facebook. Just moving on briefly, because this morning you had Joshua Fried in studio. If, guys, you didn't listen to it, get it on the podcast at ktth.com. Really good interview. Joshua Fried is former mayor and council member over in Bothell. He's now running for governor. He's taking on Phil Fortunato and Lauren Culp, possibly Drew Stokesbury, a state representative. Did you hear anything from him beyond homelessness, where we know he's already pretty strong?
I mean, obviously, he came out strong on no income tax. He's going to focus on homelessness. But what really stuck with me is, more than the other candidates, he really settled in and said he's Washington first. There are laws and progressive laws that we have passed in our state, and he has no interest in removing them. He really just wants to focus in on what I call the little swamp in Olympia, getting it cleaned up, getting the budget sorted out. And honestly, Jason, he's the candidate I'm going to support. He is my favorite candidate. He fits into the moderate agenda and politician I'm looking for. And honestly, I think without a moderate, you're not going to win running for governor in the state of Washington. Well,
and that's the question a lot of conservatives have to face, including myself, of do I want someone who is electable, or do I want to vote with principles? And ultimately, it's kind of as much as both as humanly possible, right? Can we get someone who's going to win in the state of Washington who at least holds enough conservative values or principles
that
matter to me? Yeah, exactly. Because if we end up just voting for someone who's the legitimate epitome, even though I don't generally like this term, of a rhino Republican in name only, I don't know if that's going to make any of us happy.
I think the bit with Josh that you should settle in on, and maybe this is a Saul Spadia special, but he's going to be responding to all of his comments on Facebook. He's going to be engaging both in person and online. And based on what I've seen, and also the politicians that have broken free and won unwinnable campaigns, they've used a digital marketing strategy. And Josh is engaged. He wants to meet with you. He wants to talk. And I think he is going to be the candidate to make it through the primary. And, this is the ultimate Hail Mary. I think if we all get together, if we donate to Joshua Fried, if we support his campaign, he could actually beat Jay Inslee.
So you think he can win in King County?
Yes, I think he can at least win enough votes in King County.
Yeah, he has to get, what is it, 40% of King County?
I'd say like 42% of King County, and I think Josh has a great chance at doing that. He's going to have to be available. He's going to have to campaign in Seattle and King County way more than any other Republican ever has. But I have faith in Fried. Freed for Washington.
Hey, look at you.
Yeah.
What, are you working for his campaign now, son?
No, I just own an ad agency, so I just do this for
you
fun.
You know exactly how to figure it out.
I really like Josh.
He's going to be on the show. I'm a fan of his. I like what he's done on the heroin injection sites, trying to get rid of them, which is not a conservative position. It is a position that is shared by virtually everyone in King County, except for the King County Council and the Seattle City Council. Thank you so much for stopping by. That's Saul Spady. If you are not listening to his show weekday mornings from 6 to 9, you are doing yourself a huge disservice. So go back, check out the podcast from today's show, and then get hooked on Saul, and you'll listen to him for the rest of the week.
Hey, thanks so much, Jason.
Thanks for stopping by. You're listening to The Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to The Jason Rancho. Show. Thank you so much for tuning in live in the Online Trading Academy studio. I don't know how I'm expected to continue this show under these conditions, because I just got word of a story that is rocking me to my core. I have been struggling to find love. I've been single for a while now. I sometimes find that person and we connect, and then I get ghosted, and it just goes nowhere. And now I see Todd Palin just filed for divorce with Sarah Palin. Love is nonsense. Love means nothing. They were married for 31 years and they filed for divorce. I'm looking at the court documents right here, Todd. He cited a, quote, incompatibility of temperament between the parties such that they find it impossible to live together as husband and wife. Love doesn't exist, young Peyton. I know you've got a girlfriend. Just end it now, because this is what's going to happen. You're going to spend 31 years with each other, and then before you know it, they just break your heart.
If the Palins can't make it, nobody
can. Who can? Who can? This is devastating. More likely, so obviously this is bad, and I feel bad for both of them. I do, you know, when I see cases like this, because I've got a friend whose parents are going through a divorce, she's an adult friend, which means her parents are really, really adult. You know, you look at something like this and you realize, okay, Todd Palin's 55 years old, doesn't say how old Sarah Palin, and she's in her early 50s, mid-50s. Like, that's spending a lot of time with someone else only to then find out sort of at the tail end of your life. I know it's not quite the tail end, not like you're 90 years old, but, you know, 55 years old to say the person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with just didn't go the way that I wanted to. Like, on the one hand, I'm like, okay, it's good that you ended this because it's not fair to either of you. You're both miserable. You might as well move on. But then I'm also saying, aren't you still going to be kind of miserable? Are people meeting each other at 55 years old? Like, where exactly do you go at 55 years old to try to find someone else? And if you're at that point, are you looking for a long-term till death do us part two partner? Or are you just doing the whole let's date and live a little bit of a life of my own with that independence?
Yeah, that's a tough middle ground, and
right?
I haven't got there yet, so I don't know. Hopefully,
you're young.
To get there.
Oh, clearly, it's going to happen. I mean, again, if Sarah and Todd can't make it, then no one can.
Yeah.
But like, I'm in that position where I'm starting to get. I mean, I'm 37 years old, man. I'm getting to that point where if I don't find someone, I feel like I'm not going to ever find someone. And the older that you are, what exactly do people look for? Because if you're looking to just sort of play the field, I get that. But where exactly are you meeting? Are you going online, like the younger demographic? Are you going on to Match.com? Are you on Tinder and Bumble and Grindr and all these things? And if you're not, if you're kind of like, look, I'm over that. I realize that I'm getting older. I want someone who I'm going to spend the rest of what's left of my life with. Because, you know, at some point you do get at that general condition of you need another person to look out for you. Right, the older you are, you need someone else to look out for you, and you don't want to be that single person who's alone at 87 years old, surrounded by your cats, because you're going to die, and the cats are going to eat you, and no one wants to be the subject of that story that inevitably it's going to get printed in the Bellevue Reporter or the Tacoma News Tribune. So what exactly do you do? And I don't know how people are supposed to start over at that point. And yet at the same time, I certainly in my head, I say, look, if you're miserable and you spent 31 years or however many of those years being miserable, Where do you go? I guess it's better than being miserable the whole time. But wouldn't you rather be miserable, but also have someone who's going to have your back once you're not able to take care of yourself or make decisions for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, being miserable is the goal in life, right?
Well, that's been my goal in life, is kind of just, and let me tell you, I've been succeeding.
Hiring me was a great addition to that.
I totally agree. The level of incompetence in this office right now, because of you, is staggering. Meanwhile, and I seriously, by the way, feel free to let me know. Jump in on the text line, 1-800-465-8770, where your thoughts are, especially if you're someone who's maybe gotten divorced and you are older in your years. We're not talking about someone who gets a divorce in their, you know, early to mid-30s, where I feel like there is a little bit of more space to sort of explore and go out. I just feel like at 55 years old, you're going to kind of look weird, unless it's just on me. It's also possible that everything I'm saying is based on my own prejudice, my own misunderstanding of life at that age in that position, because obviously I don't have any experience in that. It just feels like 50-ish and above is where, at least to me, you're starting to get into that area of, okay, why are we doing anything at all? What's going on? And I have to assume that there's a lot of other people who are in the same exact position as Sarah and Todd Palin were or are. We get a text from Tom in the 360. It does make you wonder why there's so many lonely people, even though there are 326 million people in the U.S. and 7.6 billion people in the world. Well, here's why. You want to know why people are lonely, despite the fact that we live in a place that has so many people? You're never going to meet 326 million people or the 7.6 billion people in this world. You're never even going to come close to even a small fraction of that. Like, this fraction is so small, it doesn't even count. You're going to meet people who live in your particular region of the world, right? Maybe when you go on vacation, if you're vacationing solo, you might meet a few people. But for the most part, you're only limited to the people around you. Yes, the internet has made that much a bigger world, but still, let's say right now you meet someone who lives in South Carolina, you connected on Match.com or eHarmony or whatever. The chances of you actually making that leap and then moving to South Carolina or having them move here to Wenatchee or whatever is probably still slim. And so you set your sights on the people around you. And again, the older you are, the chances are less likely that you'll meet someone else who is also single, because generally you couple up. Now that's starting to change a lot more because millennials have what seems like a higher rate of divorce than older generations. The only thing that this is good for is if you're really into people who are young, millennial age. So, you know, Todd, if he's, you know, looking for some 30-year-old woman who's just at the prime of her life, maybe that's good for her or him or both. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. Two more hours coming up right here on AM 770 KTTH.